If you'll have Exodus chapter 26 open in front of you, I trust that this will be helpful, having it open in front of you, as we come to think of the construction of the tabernacle. One of the most famous poems in English literature is Paradise Lost by John Milton. I say famous, but my guess is that most people have only really heard of the title, Paradise Lost. Some people have maybe heard what the poem is about or have read a synopsis of it, and I would be very impressed if someone here has read Paradise Lost. The first edition in 1667 was compiled in 10 books, and it's made up of over 10,000 lines of verse. The 1674 edition was compiled in 12 books and contained notes on each of the verses. The poem itself, I haven't read it. I've read a synopsis. The poem itself is about the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It details the plot of Satan to overthrow God's kingdom on earth and to take control of the earth. And within the poem, there are scenes in heaven and there are scenes in hell. But for the most part, Milton focuses on the broken relationship between God and man because of man's sin. Paradise lost. But we don't need to read the poem to know what Scripture says about paradise lost. Because of sin, Adam and Eve were cast out of the beautiful, perfect garden, never allowed to return. And God sent an angel with a flaming sword to guard the way to the entrance. No one could enter. Access was denied. In 1671, Milton wrote another poem, Paradise Regained. He focuses on the temptations of Christ, the last Adam who did not give in to temptation. But Jesus showed himself to be the Messiah King. And through Christ, we can have our fellowship with God restored. There's a story that a man by the name of Thomas Elwood, who was a friend of Milton's, he said to him one day, "Thou hast said much of paradise lost, but what hast thou said of paradise found?" And this is apparently what led Milton to write Paradise Regained. But why am I telling you this? What does this have to do with the tabernacle that we've been studying? Well, as we move back to chapter 26 this evening, we find in the construction of the tabernacle references to creation and pictures of what the fall brought about. The loss of paradise and the denial of access. There's restricted access. There's no access in places. But also with the tabernacle, we find that God is providing paradise regained. Opened access. Limited in some ways. Not yet full access. But with the hope and the assurance that someday there will be full access into God's place of dwelling. Into the place of beauty. Into the place of perfection. With the tabernacle, we have pictures and shadows pointing to paradise regained, fellowship with God restored, a reversal of the fall of creation. And I hope that it's helpful if we take Milton's two poems as part of our headings this evening to help us remember what the tabernacle was pointing to. And so firstly tonight, as we think about the tabernacle, I want to think about paradise lost, access denied. In Genesis chapter 1, we read that everything that God had made was very good. God and man enjoyed fellowship in the garden. Adam and Eve were in the very presence of God. They enjoyed a relationship with God. They were in this beautiful place, a place where everything was very good by the design of God. Eden is in some ways a picture of heaven on earth. God's beautiful, perfect design where man is in fellowship with God. Beauty and perfection. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Now we come to the tabernacle. I have a picture for us this evening just to help us understand the words in Exodus 26. I know I find images helpful, so hopefully this image will be helpful. When we come to the tabernacle, we find that within the tent, which is what chapter 26 focuses on, the tent part of the tabernacle compound, within this tent there is beauty, there is structure, and there is design. We've already seen that many of the items, or all of the items in the tent, were made of pure gold. The Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, in behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. On the other side of this curtain, on the north wall, we have the table for showbread over here. And then on this side, on the southern wall, we have the candlestick, the lampstand. But this whole design is one of beauty. It's one of perfection. Everything made with pure gold. And also the inner coverings and the curtains of this tabernacle, they were spectacular. They were colorful. They were ornate. They were rich. Let's look at the beauty inside the tent. Look at chapter 26, verses 1 to 6. We have these 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and they're made with blue and purple and scarlet. And we're told that there are cherubim interwoven into them. And these 10 curtains are then joined together into two sets of 5 along their length. So we've 5 side by side, all joined together, and then on this side we've another 5. And on the inside edge of these curtains, there are blue loops of cloth, 50 of them along each, opposite. And then we have 50 gold rings so that they can be tied together. So now we have one whole piece of curtain. And it's spectacularly beautiful. Blue, purple, scarlet. And these angels, these mighty heavenly warrior beings are woven into it. And that is placed over the frame. So that's what we have here. This blue, purple and scarlet with the cherubim woven in. Not that bit just yet. We'll come to it later. And that goes the whole way around the frame with its gold rings. It's glorious. It was a heavenly scene. A perfect scene. A beautiful scene. It's like paradise. A picture of heaven in God's throne room. But also a reminder of Eden. That close fellowship with God in God's place. With all of the beauty and the design. And everything was very good. But of course, in the Garden of Eden, things didn't stay that way. Satan tempted Adam and Eve to eat from the one tree that they were forbidden to eat from. And so they disobeyed God. And part of the punishment was that they were then sent out from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, we read that he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Paradise was lost. Paradise was hidden. And now when we come to the construction of the tabernacle in Exodus 26, and remember, this is going to be the place where God is dwelling in the midst of his people, God in relationship with his people. What do we find in the construction? We find that going over this wonderful, beautiful, paradise-type covering, we have a covering of goat's hair. And we're told that it is longer than the inner covering. Look at verses 7 to 14. It's longer and wider than the inner covering. And this goat hair covering, this goat wool covering, it hides the stunning, glorious, heavenly beauty of the inner covering. Not only that, but the section that contains the Ark of the Covenant, it even has its own curtain. So there's access denied into the very place where God says that he will be present in the midst of his people. His throne room, his footstool, the Ark of the Covenant. We have that in verses 31 to 35 of Exodus 26. This veil, this curtain that hung down, protecting the most holy place, keeping it separate. And nobody would be able to go in. And there on the curtain are cherubim guarding the way. It's interesting that this is the eastern side. The door is on the east. The curtain is on the east of the most holy place. The way from the east is guarded and protected. That's what the Garden of Eden had. The angel, the cherubim with the flaming sword, guarded the entrance on the east. For the people of Israel, as they looked at this tent, there's a sign up. The sign says, "Access denied, Sariel." Access denied. You can't enter. You can't come in. They were standing far off. There was the beauty. There was the heavenly scene. There was the place of dwelling. That's the place that they want to go into. But they can't. Access denied. Covering over this goatskin layer, there was a layer of tanned ram skin, and then another type of leather covering that again. Bible translations give various words for that. It was another type of thick skin covering. You couldn't see the inside. Paradise is lost. And then there's a curtain over the entrance to the tent on the eastern side. All the people of Israel could come into the tabernacle compound. They could come in with from outside the wall, the gate. But they couldn't go any further. They couldn't enter into the place of dwelling. All of this is saying to the Israelites, there is fellowship with God to be gained. There's the presence of God to be admired and to be found. But access is denied, or at best, it is restricted. Because, of course, the priests could go into the tabernacle tent, and only the high priest could enter in to the most holy place on one day in the year, that Day of Atonement. Can you see the Eden narrative in the tabernacle? The beauty and design, but covered over, guarded by the cherubim in the east. Heaven's throne room closed off to sinful people because of the fall. The tabernacle is a picture of paradise lost. Fellowship with God has a sign across it saying, access denied. Or as I said, at best, access restricted. The ordinary Israelite, he could only go so far, but the curtain was in the way. God's presence that was so important in the Garden of Eden is lost. And this was our standing before God. This is our standing before God because of sin. Access is denied. We can't approach God. We can't enter into relationship with God. We can't look forward to the beauty and the splendor of heaven or the heavenly throne room because of sin. And so we can say that because of sin, paradise is lost. It's covered over. A sign has gone up that says, access denied. Perhaps you're feeling a little bit like Thomas Elwood at this stage, the friend of John Milton. And you maybe think of saying, well, thou hast said much here of paradise lost, but what hast thou to say of paradise found? And that brings us to our second heading, paradise regained, the name of Milton's second poem, and it's access open. Access open. The tabernacle isn't saying that God can be contained in a tent or on a box. That's not what the tabernacle is saying. But it is saying that what was lost is fellowship with God, and that cannot be regained or restored without God giving access. We know that access into the tabernacle or the tent was restricted for the priests. Moses, Aaron, the sons of Aaron. And access into the Holy of Holies, it had even greater restrictions. Only the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. But God was saying, there is a way into my presence. There is a way into the beauty and the glory and the majesty of my presence. That way is through the sacrifice. We've already seen this morning that the bronze altar was the first item that you saw as you made your way into the outer court of the tabernacle. A picture of the need to have God's anger at sin satisfied. The need for the substitute. And the bronze altar points us to Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then on into the tabernacle, as the priests were sprinkled and made clean, they could enter in. They could come in and they could serve and minister before God in the light that God provided. In Jesus Christ alone, we can enter God's presence. Through Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, we can serve and minister and worship. In the light of Christ, the one who is the light of the world, the one who is light and life to man, the one whose light has shone into our hearts by God's grace. We are told that we can enter in. We can approach. We can come into this most beautiful and most glorious of buildings. The whole framework of the tabernacle was made of gold. The bases that touched the earth were made of silver. The very outer bases out here were made of bronze. But inside, everything was this shining, bright gold. It was radiant. It was wonderful. And access into that beauty, access into that glory, has been opened up by Jesus Christ. Into the Holy of Holies would the high priest went on that great Day of Atonement. And the high priest was carrying the blood of the sacrifice into the very presence of God to sprinkle it on the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And what is it that Jesus Christ has done for us? He is our high priest. And he has entered into the most holy place. And through his blood, the way has been opened. Paradise regained. Access open. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. At the point of Jesus' death, on that greatest day of atonement, our high priest, he took his sacrifice and he entered into the holy place, into heaven itself. And he presented his finished work before God as the full and the final sacrifice for our sin, so that we might be made clean. And in doing that, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. At that very moment, when he cried out, "It is finished," the curtain tore in two. Access into the very presence of God is opened up. Access into the dwelling of God, the new and living way, is open. See, Jesus is the one who is the true tent. He's the one who is fully God and yet took on the outer form of man. His divine nature and human nature contained in human form and flesh. And he's the one who tabernacled amongst us. He took on this outer tent. And he himself went as high priest and gave himself, and then presented his finished work before the Father, that we might have access, that we might be brought near to God, that we can approach God, that we can have the hope and the certainty of being in the beautiful, wonderful, glorious, eternal dwelling place of God the Father in his throne room in heaven forever. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 19 to 22 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Because the way is open, because access is opened, let us draw near. Paradise regained. What was lost is restored through Jesus Christ. And this is access for everyone who is in Jesus Christ. We can each and every one approach the throne of grace in Jesus Christ. You can approach the very presence of God through Jesus Christ. What was covered over, what was hidden, what was lost is now open and clear and visible for all of God's people, from the youngest to the oldest. You have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. We've no need of priests. We've no need of good works. We've no need of smoke and incense or gimmicks. We have open access to the Father because Jesus Christ has gone through the tent and opened up the tent for us. We can draw near. I wonder if during the days of the tabernacle, if God had decreed that everybody and anyone could enter the tent and see its beauty. Anyone and everyone could come and serve God's presence and meet and speak with God at the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder how many Israelites would jump at that opportunity. My guess is each and every one of them. We can go into the tabernacle. Let us come and see the beauty and the splendor. Let us be in the very presence of God. I know if I was an Israelite, or I would like to think so, I would love that opportunity. What would that be like? And yet, we have the reality of that. In Jesus Christ, we can enter the very presence of God. And we can approach God and pray to God. And worship God and serve God. What joy and excitement, what a privilege and an honor that would have been for the Israelites. And now Jesus is saying, access is open. And we have something that is far more glorious than this tent. We have the reality. And that's why the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10 can say, let us then with confidence draw near. And let us come to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when we are struggling, when we are going through those difficult times, when perhaps it feels as though God is distant, what is it that you have? You have access. You can enter the presence of God. Come into the throne room of prayer. And you can find mercy and grace to help. You can find strength when we're suffering, when we're struggling. What is it that we have? Open access in Jesus Christ. The writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10 goes on to say, because of this access, this is his point, because of this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us not neglect to meet together, but rather encouraging one another. He's saying, because we have this access, remind each other of that. Stir up one another to that. Say to one another, we can come into the presence of God. Let me come with you in prayer. Let me help you. Let me help you find grace at the throne of God. Remind each other. We do that as we come together for worship. For the Israelites, if they could enter the tabernacle, I like to think, I'm not sure, but I like to think they would have been crowding in at the doors. We are going to be in the presence of God. What do we have this evening as we come together? We have access. The very presence of God. It's a sad thing that we don't make more use of it. In prayer meetings. What are we doing at prayer meetings? We are accessing the very presence of God. Woman's fellowship. Men's fellowship. This is access that cost Jesus Christ. So the writer to the Hebrews says, he paid the price. He has opened up the way into the beauty and splendor of God's presence. So don't neglect it. Don't put it to one side. The way is open. Make use of it. Hold on to it. We have paradise regained in Jesus Christ, and we can approach and enter in. And of course, this is speaking of our eternal destiny. That glorious inner fine twined linen of the blue and the scarlet and the purple and the cherubim woven in was a picture of heaven, the angels surrounding the throne, worshiping and glorifying God. We have that access. We have that way. This is where Christ is bringing us to. The tabernacle, the construction of the tabernacle, it was a picture or a shadow of what was lost, the presence of God covered over, but also a picture and a shadow of what was to be regained in Jesus Christ having full access. So let us be found to be in the presence of God. Let us make use of this access in our own daily lives, together as a church family, coming into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Amen.